Please be seated. Announcements. Good morning. How are we all? I hope you're enjoying the good weather. Yes, I hope you're not complaining about it. Are you? That's good. Yes. I could complain if you want to, because I have to always need to wear a suit, you know. And sometimes when I just wear a t-shirt or a shirt, I feel like I'm not wearing anything, because you're so used to putting a jacket on or the coat on all the time. But yes, thank God that God has offered us and given us this, the sun and the warmth under His grace. That's thank God. Am I too loud? Was it not switched on? Do I have to say good morning to you again? No, thank you. There's no announcements. Yes, there are major announcements, but there is one announcement. It's on your notice sheet that Girls Brigade at Castez Village is closing down, because the Girls Brigade at Scotland is closing down in 2027. So we have stopped that Girls Brigade in Castez, but we want to carry on the work they have done for all those years. We have around 30, 35 girls who joined the Girls Brigade, and we would like to carry that on. So we are trying to. Now session has passed, and we're going to start a youth group for the girls. So we required a lot of volunteers for it. May I please request you to consider that prayerfully, to come for that meeting. The meeting date and time and the venue is on the notice sheet. I would request you to please come. Boys or girls, anyone can join in there. Not a youth group, as a leader. We will do your PVG, and then you can take part. We would require you one night in a month. And that's the reason we are looking for more volunteers, so we can have a bigger team, so they can take less responsibilities. So we need one person for one night in a month, and it's seven nights in a year. So if you could please share your commitment there. You don't need to be skilled. You don't need to be experienced. Just whatever you can bring, that would be enough. So I would request you to please do come for that. Again, it's a date. The details are on the notice sheet. Today I thought, what could I share with you? And sometimes this is a very important question for me, and I have many Christians ask me this question as well. I was a new Christian, I started teaching and preaching. There were a lot of people who came to me and asked me this question, Harrison, what is the God's will for us? Sometimes it feels like it's the rabbit of a magic hat. We feel like it's a puzzle we need to solve. Even if we don't, then we may end up lost. Sometimes we feel it's so difficult to know the will of God. And I believe it is not. If you are born again, if you are in Christ, if you are a Christian, no matter how long it is, you know God for you. It's very easy to understand, and it's written clearly, very clearly in the Bible. If you follow the world, you are divided. If you follow the Christ Jesus, you are not. But Christ is here for the division. Now I'll share more in my reflection and in my first thoughts. But without further ado, let's take a moment of silence and prepare yourself to worship your God. We gather before the Lord who leads His people in steadfast love. The psalmist prays, Lord, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Dear God, today, this morning, we come with open hearts, ready for your shaping. We remember that your will is not a burden, but it is a gift. A path you set before us, a life you form in us by grace. So Lord, before we start this worship, we offer ourselves to you and for your guidance. Please rescue us, make us your own as we worship, saying, show me your ways and teach me to your path, O Lord. Amen. Amen. Dear all, may I please request you all to stand if you're able and sing our first hymn. I will sing The Wondrous Story. Thank you. Please be seated. Can we join our hearts in the prayer again? Gracious God Almighty, we come before you in worship this morning. Not because we want to, not because we have to, but this is your will for us. And your will is good for us, Lord. Because you are good. You are a good shepherd, and your steadfast love endures forever. And because you are a good shepherd, you lead your sheep into the right pastures where they can find the water, the feed, and safety. Lord, you are the one who leads your people in mercy, who calls us into life, and whose will is always shaped by grace. Lord, we adore you for your faithfulness, your patience, and your kindness towards us in Christ, and the one who draws us into your purpose and teaches us to walk in your ways. Merciful Lord, we confess that we do not always follow the path you set before us, and we are sorry for it, Lord. We are happy to choose the path of this world. We are happy to choose the path of our society. We are happy to choose the path of our leaders who are corrupt. The hired hands who are not good shepherds but wolves. And as soon as the wolf and bears and lion comes to taunt your sheep, they run away. Lord, we are so many times have trusted our own wisdom, wandered from your guidance, and allowed that fear or the pride which we have to shape our choices. And instead of walking on your will and having your will be done in our life, Lord, we chose to do our will. Forgive us when our obedience has felt heavy, Lord, and when our will has seemed very far distant or difficult. Would you please cleanse us from all that pulls us away from you? Even if it is ourselves, our family, our community, our village, or anyone who is the hindrance before you and us. And by your Spirit, Lord, would you please teach us again to do your will with our willing hearts. Father God, you are faithful. We are faithful and we thank you that your grace meets us before our obedience, that your love holds us even when we stumble, and that you are shaping our lives into the likeness of Jesus Christ, the one who gave up everything. And as per your will, he came and died and was buried and rose again so that he could be obedient to you. Lord, thank you for every good work you have prepared for us, for the quiet leading of your Spirit, and for the joy we feel when we belong to Christ and do his will. Lord, this morning receive our worship and lead us in the narrow path you have already prepared for us, that we may walk in your will with our gratitude and our trust in you. And Lord, we would like to show our trust by praying this prayer together with your disciples, which you taught your disciples to pray as a family, and say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now may I please request Wilma to come forward and do the reading. Our reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, a very well-known verse to all of us, Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And then Gospel according to St. John, chapter 15, verses 12 to 17. Please listen to these verses carefully when Wilma read, because these verses are important for my reflection. Thank you.
First reading, Wilma. Ephesians 2, verses 1 Wilma. To 10.
Can I please request this to speak on the microphone? Thank you.
Can you hear me? Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10, from death to life. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, doing the will of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we may walk in them. Second reading, John 15, verses 12 to 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Amen.
Thank you, Wilma, for the reading. Are we disobedient children? Fair question, right? Are we disobedient? Who said no? Good. We should know that, are we obedient or disobedient? I hope you remember, I preached recently, are we teachable? Because some of us are not. Some of us are disobedient, some of us are so stubborn that they believe what they do is only the right way. Because they have learned from their school, from their society, from their culture, from their tradition, from their parents, no matter if it is wrong, and if it is against the will of God, they will still try to do what is right in their own eyes, as per their own will. And when Jesus is speaking to them, he said, you are slave. You are slave and you are in slavery, that's what the Bible says, because you just follow your own will instead of the will of the Father who makes you friend in Christ Jesus. Because if you are a friend of Jesus Christ, you will obey and you will do his will than your own. And that's the reason Jesus said that he's speaking to the people who do his will, his children, his friend. He said, I don't call you slaves anymore, but I call you friend. Do all of you have friends? Yes, do all of us have friends? We do. But any one of you ever been enslaved? No. And don't tell me that those slaves are not there anymore. We do have slaves. We do have modern slavery. There are a lot of people who are slave to their parents, their employers, their school, their society, their leaders, and their own way of thinking. There are slaves, and we are slaves, and we are chained in the hands of Satan because we are doing the will of the world and will of our own, but the will of God. And that's why Jesus Christ said, well, forget about your own works, but I came so that you can have life and life in abundance when you do the will of my Father and then you become friend of me. You know what is the difference between a disobedient person and an obedient person? Do you know what is the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? Do you know the difference between the church and the all other organization, even charities? Do you know what it is? Can somebody tell me? Wild guess? What is the role of your church? Tell me that. What is the role of your church? Sorry? Chrissy, God bless you. Anyone else have any other thoughts? Well, I said this at once, and they said, we are here for the community, for the village, to do good. And I said, you're wrong. Because our identity is what Christine said. We are here to spread good news. And if you're not doing that, you're not a church. You know my title. What is my title? Can somebody tell me what is my title? The full title? Say it. Please speak. Reverend Sumit Harrison. Who am I? What is my title? Who am I? Minister. What? Minister for what? Okay, Church of Scotland. Minister of what? What am I ministering? Who am I ministering? No, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not your servant. Well, I am your servant, but you're not my master. I am not a Church of Scotland minister. My ordination is minister for word and sacrament. I am not a congregational minister. You are not my priority. My priority is word and sacrament. And if I choose you over the word, I am not a right person. I'm not doing my duty. I am a disobedient child to my God. Because the will of my Father to make me minister so I could be minister of word and sacrament. That's the reason you all come secondary to me. The word of God come first. And I have to be obedient to word of God before I be obedient to you. And that's the reason I always say, I could be your servant. Yes, I am. But you're not my master. I'm here to serve you, but not to learn from you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the difference between you and everybody else in the world who don't follow Jesus Christ, because the will of God is so hard for them. It feels like a burden to them. But when you flow in Christ, when you live in Christ and the will of God is your priority, then everything else is not your priority, not even you. Now you'll say, Harrison, the Bible says, love your neighbor. Yes, but that's a second command. What is the first command? Love your God. If you do not love your God and you love your community first, your village first, your people first, your family first, and even yourself first, you are wrong, my dear friends. Because Jesus said, love your God first. You sacrifice everything, even yourself. You come third. God first, love your God first, and then your neighbor, and then yourself. You're not supposed to love yourself. And that's what not me saying, it's the word of God. The word of God, read if you read it on the scripture, I'll read something for you which you may have never read, or if you have read, you may have never understood, because it's contrast what you think the Jesus is here for. Read that. Bring that verse, Laura. Arjun. Luke 12:49-56. Okay, read it. I'm reading it with humility and try to understand that with the notion that you are teachable. I have come to set, this is Jesus speaking, I have come to set the world on fire. What? Fire? Is it the same Jesus we know? Is it the same Jesus I worship? Is it the same Jesus whom I define as love, but no wrath, no jealousy, no justice, no judgment? He came to bring fire, and I wish it were already burning. I have a terrible baptism suffering ahead of me, and I'm under a heavy burden until it is accomplished. He's saying, I have a job to accomplish. What is his job? Do you think I have come to bring peace to earth? No. He's not here to bring peace. He's not here to offer you prosperity and happiness and do your will. His will is that he's here to divide. What? I know I have come to divide people against each other. From now on, families will be split apart. 3 in favor of me and 2 against. In your churches, you have some people who will die for the word of God, but some who will do anything and everything to deny the word of God in the church. That's a division. That's a division he's creating. He said, or 2 in favor of 3 against. Next slide. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, he's speaking to everybody, when you see cloud beginning to form in the west, you say, here come a shower. And you're right. When the south wind blows, you say, today will be a scorcher. And it is. You fools. What? Jesus is using bad words, saying, you fools. How dare he? You know how to interpret the weather sign of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times? He's telling me, you, Harrison, fool. When you see the cloud, you know it's going to rain. And when you see sun, you know it's going to be scorching day. Beautiful. But you don't know the sign. You don't know my will. I'm here to bring division. That's what Christ has done here. When your parents tell you something which is against the word of God, you are supposed to be divided from them. I'm not here. I'm here to divide you. Trust me. And a lot of people will say that Harrison is there to divide us. Yes. You know why? Because Christ is dividing you. He is there on earth when he came. He didn't came for his goats. No, he never. He came for his sheep. And he said, there'll be a clear division. There'll be a goat on my left and the sheep on my right. Clear division. The people who follow my will be my sheep. And the people who never followed my will and tried to follow their own will, the will of their society or their village or their education or their leader, will be at my left. Because they are goats. And Jesus is not here to feed the goats. And neither am I. I'm not here to feed the goats. And there'll be a clear division soon, maybe, that some of you will be the sheep and some of you will be the goats. And I'm not here wasting my time on goats because they will never belong to Christ. Christ Jesus never wasted his time there either. Because he knows who are his goats. Now take an example of Sodom and Gomorrah. I was speaking to one of my very liberal minister friend whom I met 2 years ago, around two years ago in a retreat. And I was asking, we were having a very big discussion, very deep discussion. And I asked, I said, why do you think God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Now think how you can misinterpret Bible. He said, because they were not hospitable. They were not hospitable. And I said, you cannot be any wrong, my dear friends, because Bible is not a puzzle. It's clearly state why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. A nuclear war, a nuclear bomb has been thrown onto that. You know why? You know it very clearly. But we tried to misinterpret Bible and said they were not hospitable. They could be hospitable. They could be serving their community. They could be serving and loving their neighbor, no problem. But they were not doing the will of God, which is clearly stated in the Bible. They were not doing that. And that's the reason God was fed up with them, gave them enough chances, generations after generations, that the wrath of God will not fall on them. But God had enough, and God destroyed them. And that's the will of God. He's here to divide. He saved few people from there because they were the only one who were following Christ Jesus. They were only following the will of God. Are we following the will of God? What is the difference between you and anyone else? The difference is clear, that you love your God and Jesus Christ is your priority and the Word of God is your priority and people who love Word of God is your priority than anything else. So before you make any decisions, think, is the Word of God been superseding whatever am I doing? Whether it's for you, for your community, for your church, for anything you do. Ask yourself, is it the word of God? Is it the will of God? And if it is, good. The next slides show you there's a map and a compass. Okay? Do you know the difference between map and compass? And do you think the will of God is a map or a compass? How many of you think will of God is a map? How many of you think word of God is a compass? Yes? You know why? Because sometimes maps can give you the right ways. Go left, take right, and you will go to the destination. But will of God is not a map. It's a compass. Because no matter when you're lost, no matter when you have nothing, you lift your compass and will direct you at the right position, at the right side, into the right way. You know what that way is? What that pointing is? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one where should be pointing out. If you are going left, look at the compass. If it is taking you right, just walk straight. You don't need to know all the ways. Sometimes it's blurry, sometimes it's foggy, you can't see anything, there is no light, there is darkness, but as far as you have a compass and you can see, it is pointing towards this side, just walk that side, because that's the right side of where God wants you to walk. And that's the will of God, my dear friends. And if you're not doing it, I'm sorry, you will be considered as a goat, not as a sheep. And goat, Jesus have no interest in goats, let me tell you that. He will give up on you, and he has already given up on you, because you are never belong to him. He don't waste his food. So many, for so long, churches have wasted their food on goats, and they never belong to us. They only belong to sheep. Feed the sheep, and they will grow. And forget about the goats. God bless you all. Can we all stand and sing our next hymn? To God be the glory, great things he has done. Now, my reflection is the extension of what I was sharing with you in my first thought, that if we are if we belong to Christ Jesus, we know his will. And it's very clear for us sometime, but sometime we try to deny it. Well, so many Christians, as I said, ask this one very question, which is very sincere, and I believe very important for us, that what is the God's will for me? To find out what is God's will for us is very important, because you cannot walk on any other will, your own or the society or the leaders. You need to find out what is the God's will for you, and it is good to find out as soon as possible. They come to me and ask me, Harrison, what is the God's will for us? Is this the right choice I am making? Have I done enough in my Christian journey? What if I miss his plan? What if I miss the exit on the highway? Am I going to go on the wrong route? Am I going to go and reach the wrong destination? Well, my dear friends, as I said last week, that God's will is like the sat-nav. If you take the wrong exit, or if you do not take the right exit, it will reroute it without shouting or disciplining you. Often that comes questions, which is the what is the will of God, come from a very sincere desire to walk closely with the Lord. Yes, I understand that. But sometime, quite underneath, there is a fear which we always go with. That's not a reverent fear of God, but a fear that will we be destroyed and rot in hell if I can just make enough right choices, they believe under that fear. Will I pray hard enough, give enough, then maybe, then only maybe God will finally be pleased with me. If I pray enough, if I do my good works, if I will be enough, will I be pleasing to God? Well, Ephesians 2, my dear friends, cut that fear off at the root from the very bottom. You know why? Because Paul began with a diagnosis that is not flattering. What does he say in Ephesians 2:1? He said, you were dead. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived. You were dead through the trespasses and the sins you were living. So there was a time when we were living in our trespasses before we were born again, before we were revived and renewed and given a new life by the blood of Christ Jesus. We were not sick, my dear friend. We were not struggling, but the Bible says we were dead, and dead person cannot do anything. Dead people do not reach for God, do not make a prayer, do not try to do good work to come to closer to God. Dead people do not make right choices or wise choices. Dead people do not cooperate with the rescue. And as I always says, God has brought this rescue mission for us. Now, have you ever seen the ad of RNLI advertisement on your television screen? Have you seen that? You know what RNLI is, yes? Yeah? They go and save people if they are drowning. Well, picture an RNLI crew heading out on a wild night, a sea black and heaving. There is a storm in that sea. Somewhere out there in the middle of the ocean, there is a man gone, lost, under face down, unconscious, past himself, past helping himself. He cannot cry out. He cannot send a telepathy. He cannot radio. He cannot use mobile phone. He is lying there unconscious. He does not choose to be rescued. However, he does not earn the rescue either, but the crew does not wait on the harbor for him to prove himself worthy. They are not saying, well, if you are a CEO or a company, if you earn $30,000 every month, if you have done any good works, then only will come to serve you or save you on this rescue mission. They are not waiting for his call. They are not waiting for him to send an SOS. They know, they somehow figure out there is a man lost in the sea and they are up in the rescue. And the man don't deserve it either. No matter who they are, it could be a murderer, it could be an adulterer, it could be anyone, but rescue will come. They go out to him, pull him out of the water, and only once he's safe at the harbor, he does understand what has just happened. I was almost dead, and these people have rescued me. That is Ephesians 2, which Velma has read. And then come four of the most wonderful words in the scripture. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Thank God he's not poor in his mercy. He is very, very rich. Abundant grace, abundant mercy. In Ephesians 2, 4, it says, not but you, when you finally sorted yourself out, my dear friends. Not but you, when you prayed hard enough. But God. Nothing else, not you, by whatever background, skill, tradition, or name, or fame, or the family you come from. It's just God. It is God who saved you. You were dead, and God came into the water himself in Jesus Christ and pulled us out. Thank God. That's what Christ has done for you and for me. Unfortunately, we are stubborn. We are disobedient. To figure that out, Paul drives the point home. He said, for by the grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God and nothing else. It is the gift of God. Do not boast on your work that you are doing something, that because of your good works you are reached there, or because you have to do good works in order to be loved. No, you don't. He saved you when you were dead. When you have done anything in your life, when you prayed the first prayer, he saved you. Salvation is not a wage, my dear friends, not a reward, not a debt God owes you. You worship him, you pray for him, and you do good works, not because he wants it, because for your own benefit. He was never alone. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was always there, and then the angels go and worship him, millions, billions of them. He was never alone. He was never out of worship. So he has created create you to worship him and to do some good works. No. You don't need to. It's a gift from the beginning to the end. That's what Christ has done for you and for me. And it is something many Christians have never considered, and you may have never considered either. God's will for you did not begin when you become a Christian. It began before you existed. He said, before the foundation of the earth was laid, your name was written in the book of Lamb, and nothing can score it out. What a beautiful promise. That under your free will, you need to follow the will of God, and you are saved. Paul says, God prepared beforehand in Ephesians 2:10, the good works we walk in. So even the good works you are trying to do is filthy rags in the temple of God. Don't boast on them. Don't prioritize them over the word of God, over the obedience to God. Because it's all been prepared beforehand for you. Before you took first breath, before you made your first mistake, before you made your first prayer, God had already written grace into your story. Thank God. This means God's will is not fragile, my dear friend. It is not easily missed. It is not hanging by the thread of your performance. Thank God for that too. You cannot ruin a plan that began before you were born, can you? I cannot. I cannot do enough sin that will score out, that will snatch me out of the hands of God. There is nothing in life or death can snatch me out of the love of God. He loved me so I can love him and love my neighbor. Imagine you are a clay and you are hands of a potter shaping clay on the wheel. The clay doesn't decide the shape, whether I want to be a jug or a cup or a saucer or a plate. No. It does not guide the potter's hand. What are you doing, potter, with me? It doesn't. It simply yields to the touch of the one who already sees the finished vessel. But if you're a stubborn clay, you will just break in the hands of potter and he'll throw you out. But if you're soft enough to be molded by potter's hand, he will make something beautiful out of you. Are we willing? That is God's will for you and for me. We often think God's will is a maze. No, it is not. One wrong turn and we are lost. No, it is not. But scripture says it is a craftsmanship. God is an artist and you are his masterpiece. That's what God is. We are what we made. He made us, my dear friend. Paul says the Greek word is poema, which means you are God's poem. He wrote you in with mind. You're not just here by chance. You're not a clump of cells. Neither you were a clump of cells in your mother's womb, and neither you are right now. God's artwork, and you are God's creation. Isn't that beautiful? God's will is not a puzzle to solve. It is a life He is shaping in His will for you and for me. And His will is to do good, my dear friends. Jesus Himself shows us what God's will look like. He is giving us He's a prototype. He is giving an example. He says, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me. What does that look like for us? He obeyed His Father in His will. It looks like loving the Father. It looks like loving the people. It looked like obedience flowing from relationship, not because of fear. God don't threaten you to follow Him. You want to follow Him? Your choice. If you don't want to follow Him, you are a goat. Please yourself. And here's the insight, my dear friend. Jesus never treated the will of God as a tight rope. You know why? He treated us as a path. The tightrope demand perfection, isn't it? Have you seen people walking a tightrope? Have you? If you have one foot not on that in this side, you fall down. The tightrope required perfection. You know what path required? Direction. And that's what God has called you for. Our direction pointing towards Christ Jesus. Follow a compass, not a map. Jesus walked the Father's will with confidence because He knew the Father's heart. And now, through grace, you share that same relationship in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful, comforting thought it is. That because He followed God, His will, now you do His will too. And that's what Christ is looking for you. Many Christians fear that God's will is a single moment. One decision, one opportunity, one fork in the road. Miss it and everything collapse. Isn't that right? We think that Christian life is a moment. But Paul says God's will is a way of life. It's a way of life, not a moment, is a movement. You are not a still picture. You are a movie. You look at the picture and keep it aside, but your movie set. That's what God is doing. He's watching you as a movie. Things come, goes bad, right things happen, few good things happen. But is it happen in the will of God, then you are saved. But if you're not, well, it's a moment. It's not a moment, it's a movement. God's will is not primarily which job you take, my dear friends, which house you buy, or which decision you make next Tuesday. Or Thursday, or Sunday, or in a year time, or in a decade. God's will is the kind of person you are becoming in Christ Jesus. And you can only become when you are Christ Jesus, when you do His will, and you prioritize Him over everything else. If you are walking towards Jesus, you are walking in God's will. Simple as that. But notice the order, because it's very important to follow the order. As I said, two commandments, love your God, love your neighbor. If you start loving your neighbor and then God, you are wrong. Grace first, that is the order. Grace first, then obedience. Not obedience and then grace. Your grace was already there and then you start to obey. Fruit grows from a living tree. It never makes the tree alive, is it? Obedience is a fruit, my dear friends. Grace is a tree. And if you don't have a grace, you will never have obedience. And if you never have obedience, then you are not connected with the tree, because obedience is a fruit. We do not obey in order to be loved, my dear friends. We obey because we are already loved by Christ Jesus. And our obedience matter not as a way to earn salvation, but as the way we express our gratitude, our trust, our love for the one who rescued us. That's what our job is. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Simple. Obedience is not a burden, my friend. It is a family resemblance of those who belong to Christ. If you belong to Christ, you will obey and do His will. And if you're not, you will bring excuses. You will do whatever you can do in your own capacity to follow your own will or the will of your master. So if you come this morning carrying a list of everything you feel you have not done or done, put this list down. It's the filthy rags in the temple of God. You are dead. And God, rich in his mercy, made you and me alive. Not because he found something impressive in you. Far from it for me, actually. But because that is who he is. He has done. So now you can do. Rich in mercy, great in love, determined to have you as his own. Well, some of you have walked with Christ for 30, 40, 60, 80 years, or maybe more. And some night you have wondered whether you have done enough with the years you were given. Maybe you have not, but don't worry. Hear this well. The grace that saved you at the beginning is the same grace that holds you now, my dear friends, and it will be the same grace that carries you home when you will be buried under the 6 foot of grave. It was never resting on your strength, so don't feel like it. Don't take it as a burden, so it does not weaken as your strength goes. God, who began this good work in you, is faithful to complete it, and he will. So what is the God will for us? To walk in the life he has already prepared for us. To truth the grace that rescues us. To obey his word with joy. And to let Jesus shape us like a clay, like he is a craftsman, a beautiful, wonderful, skillful potter. To live as people found by grace. There's a clear division in here. I could see it. I don't know if you can. And Jesus will is that he is here to make division. He said, I'm here to bring fire. Are your heart is burning with fire for the word of God? Or do you think that if I serve here and there and disobey God, you will be saved? I'm sorry, you are not. And that's the clear division God is there to bring. And that is the will of God for you and for me. Follow him. Follow the compass which point toward Jesus Christ. And that's the right way. God bless you all. May I please request you all to stand again and sing our next hymn, 511, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided. please request Karen to come forward and lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Loving God, you are the ruler and God of all, mighty and powerful, but also full of love and grace. You made the earth and everything in it, providing us with our every need. We thank you for your endless love and the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus, who saves us from all our sinful ways and gives us eternal life with you. Forgive us for the times when we doubt you or take you for granted, your blessings, or when we are selfish or unkind. Help us to be more like you, loving one another as you love us. We ask that you help us to make time each day to come into your presence in prayer, sharing quiet time with you, listening for your voice and guidance, giving us the reassurance that no matter what we are going through, you are always right beside us. We pray for the world where there is conflict and unrest. We ask that you bring peace as leaders meet for talks. Give them patience, humility, and wisdom to bring positive solutions to the nations. We ask that you take care of all who have lost their homes and loved ones. Please grant them practical aid and a safe place to stay, comforting them to ease their pain and trauma. Soften the hearts of those intent on destruction and division, and guide them to lasting reconciliation. We pray especially for the people of Venezuela and all the rescue and medical teams who are working so hard. Please give them hope, strength and courage as they face the destruction around them. We pray for all who are suffering mentally, physically or spiritually. Send your healing power to each of them and restore them back to good health. We pray for people who are bereaved and finding life difficult. Ease their pain and give them courage to take one day at a time. Help them know you are right beside them. They are never alone. We pray for Harrison and his family that they will be encouraged and supported by our congregations. Keep him steadfast in his commitment to you and to the calling you have given him. Anoint Harrison with your Holy Spirit and enable him to lead us in your love and truth. We pray for all families who are enjoying the school holidays together. Bless parents with patience and compassion that the children will feel safe, loved, and valued. Lord, we thank you for the gift of community and the bonds of love and fellowship that unite us. Help us to be instruments of your peace, shining your light and spreading your love wherever we go. And lastly, Lord, please continue to give us warm weather and lots of sunshine over the summer to restore and refresh us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Karen, for the beautiful prayer. To stand, my Jesus, my Savior, CH4, my Jesus, my Savior, and we'll sing it twice.
Thank you.
you please remain standing while we pray for our offering? Generous God, all that we have come from your hand. And all that we give, we offer in gratitude. You have prepared good work for us to walk in and to shape our lives by grace. So Lord, take these gifts in these plates and in many other ways we share with you and with your people. And Lord, take us with them, our time, our obedience, our willingness to follow your will. And use what we bring today to build your kingdom, to bless your people and to draw others into the life of Christ. May our giving reflect the love you have already shown us. And may our lives be a living offering to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let's see the blessing of God. May the Lord, who leads his people in steadfast love, guide your steps in the week ahead. May his grace study you, his spirit teach you, and his will shape your life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you now and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
May God. For joining this church, though with the sun outside, you will go for a picnic or whatever, but thank God that you're here. Now you can continue with your week ahead and the day God has brought for you. Now, sometimes you might feel, Harrison, this is harsh. This preaching is harsh and sometimes it offends us. Well, sometimes, as I always say, Bible is the most offensive book you can ever find. Sometimes God is not here to comfort you. God is here to confront you. And if he's confronting, that willingly become teachable and obey his will. Because some of the decision I make, some of the preaching I do, I serve, I minister the word of God, and sometime may not be you. If you feel that way that I'm not serving you, I'm sorry, I'm trying to serve you, but with the word of God. Hope you will understand that. You might take it with a pinch of salt and understand what I'm trying to do for you. I'm not worried about your flesh. I'm more worried about your spirit. And that's what God is worried about too. So God bless you all. Thank you once again. If you need me, I'm always there. I'm just a one phone call away. Please do get in touch with me. Next week and plus next week, you won't see me, but then I'll be back. I don't know if you're happy with that or not, but yes, I'll be here. God bless you all. Can we please all clap for Audrey? Audrey, you played very well. And she's always very good. So, thank you, Audrey. And what she plays after it, listen to that as well. It's a beautiful piece of music. Thank you.